Okay, thank you, Caitlin. I'd like to call the Commerce, Gaming, and Land meeting to order. The time is 1:00 PM. I'll give the clerk a sec to do roll call.
Congressman Hamilton.
Here.
Congressman Keane.
Here.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congressman Tillman. Chair Revard.
Here. Just want to make note that Congressman Tillman did reach out to Speaker and myself to notify us of his absence, so the next item on our agenda is prayer. Candy, could you render a prayer for us today?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the sunshine and the wind and hopes for rain coming this week. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to be over this body as they make decisions. Help them to make wise decisions that will further the benefit of the Osage Nation citizens. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Ms. Thomas. Okay, committee, the next item on our agenda is the approval of minutes, and those will be found in your invite. Those are dated April 12, 2023.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
And I don't know if Caitlin, could we go to page two? And my thinking could be way off here, but on ONCA 23-50, the Osage Nation Boards Act, I thought that Congressman Potts presented a... No, I strike that. He did it on the floor. Never mind, thank you. Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion to approve the minutes as presented for April 12, 2023.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no? Okay, thank you. The next item on our agenda is a CDFI update. That's our Moses Godot. With this, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having us.
Christopher.
This will be a first of many, hopefully. We can kind of tell you our progress and kind of how we're doing. We wanted to tell you and present to the Congress our governing lending policies. We'll be designing some specific policies per loan and products based on funds availability and rules, but that's going to take a little bit of time.
No, what you want to do is, if you can hear yourself, then you know that everyone else listening can hear you.
So kind of the Bob Barker move, kind of holding like this. Okay, all right, old TV, okay. All right, so again, I'm Christopher Coburn. I'm the new CEO of Osage Nation CDFI, and glad to be here, thrilled to talk to Congress and about what you've already laid the groundwork to build and how we're going to build this to serve the nation in a great way. So we wanted to present to you our lending policies. These are governing policies of how we handle and how we're setting this thing up to address how we make decisions, how we deal with when loans go bad and collections. There are ethics parts in this as far as, you know, how we define conflicts of interest. Generalized terms, but this will be our governing document for lending in general. And then each specific loan product type will have its own individual qualifications and specific policies, because as we attract funding sources, each pot of money may have its rules. And if it's coming from an agency, they may have specific qualifiers or not. And so that is kind of our next steps as far as what we're doing. And I also wanted to recognize the back of the room, our board chairman, Mr. Raymond. All of you, I think, know him. And Steve Blue, who is our treasurer, and I believe he's going to come here on Thursday. And his background on the board of a credit union and as an attorney was very valuable to me and the team as we put together these policies. So I wanted to kind of maybe make myself available for Q&A on where we are and just however you'd like to go.
Okay, thank you, sir. I appreciate your loan policies, and I did notice that these have been approved by your board yesterday?
Yes.
Okay,
wonderful.
We've
been working on it the last 2 weeks, so yes.
Okay, good. I think the last update we had was that you were applying for your 501c3. You want to give us an update on that?
That's in process still. That was applied for a few months ago. That could take up to 6 months to get that back. So I believe we've done all we can. It's a matter of waiting until that's recognized. So that's where we are on that step.
Okay. Committee, have any questions? Congresswoman Lemon?
Well, I'll just go down the rabbit hole of capital.
Okay. Yes.
Just start there, because that's all.
Yes. You know. We are setting ourselves up to lend, but right now the pots of money we have access to are not lending capital. So yes, we've got to work with, hopefully with Congress at some point, we can work with you. Otherwise, for our timelines for our grant that the nation got, the NACA TA, which NACA stands for Native American Community Assistance, TA's Technical Assistance, that was the grant the tribe got to help create us. We're going to have to start lending by August. And in order to have 12 months of lending behind us so that we can qualify and be certified as a CDFI by the end of the grant period. So if we don't find donated capital, we'll have to look at low-cost borrowed capital like any other financial institution. But we will need to start lending starting in August. And so our time frame to get there, we're looking at different pots of money. We're looking at different organizations that we could perhaps borrow from or work with the nation on that or a combination thereof. But yeah, that's something to line up. Prior to that, policies in place, working with the nation's HR department to modify some job descriptions they have to better fit what I think we need. We're going to start off with a loan officer and a finance officer, and the three of us will wear multiple hats until we grow this bigger. And then we will be doing a big outreach campaign with some training sessions to build the loan pipeline. And from those training sessions, hopefully we'll show the nation and different communities within the nation the value of what we do on community development, on financial literacy, on teaching people about entrepreneurship, teaching people about accounting processes like QuickBooks, things that are marketing, things that are necessary to help people grow. And from those, typically, from my experience running another CDFI, about half of those people end up being some sort of client of the CDFI, and possibly as many as 25% of those people that attend end up being loan clients. So that kind of outreach and effort is kind of how we'll organically grow our audience, and then we'll also be standing up social media and a web page. So there's a lot going on the next 2 months. I'm hoping to onboard the two staff within a month or two and get them trained through the summer, but that's where we are.
May I continue, Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, thank you for that. So when you say August, so you have a hard deadline that you'd like to hit?
Yeah, it's a pretty hard deadline. It's not in paper, but we need 12 months of lending to be able to stand and try to be certified as a CDFI.
So you need 12. And so when you say August, do you mean, like, is there a hard date in August?
I'm hoping for the 1st of August. It'll depend on onboarding the staff. It'll depend on which tranche of money we get, whether that's borrowed or donated, and which class of loan products we stand up first. But yes, we will need to be out and doing outreach. I'm hoping by the end of summer, hopefully we can catch a lot of the community events going on in the summer and make ourselves known to as many people as we can. So all of that will happen over the next few months.
Speaker Goodfox.
Thank you. So I'm just now starting to look through this packet, and I'm sure that we're going to have some questions that are, you know, that's in here, so you'll just have to point us to, and if not, then you'll be able to answer. So I knew from speaking with your board chair that August was a deadline that you guys were going to be coming up against, and that you all would be requesting some sort of infusion, right? My question is about, in the event that you start providing loans, what is the process for loan defaults, and how will you get that money back?
I'm glad you asked that. Let me flip through here. So starting at the table of contents on page 5, you're going to see, or page 2, you're going to see loan monitoring, how we document, and this will give you an idea. Portfolio management on page 3 of the table of contents, delinquency, credit reporting, foreclosure, and write-offs. So those sections of the document, as we get a little further back, we will talk to, how I like to do when I talk to people one-on-one about lending, is we talk about their goals, we talk about their needs. We also talk about, probably if it's an hour-long conversation, 20 minutes in, we're going to talk about what happens if this doesn't go right. You know, yes, we will go to tribal court or the nation's district court. Yes, we will have to, if you pledge collateral, get it back. But let's get that out in front, and now let's talk about 7 or 8 ways we can avoid ever getting there, and how do we build there. So on collections, it's important. Loan software, we will stand up. We'll be monitoring that. There's a whole frequency table of what we do when we issue letters, when we involve our attorney, how we have to account for, let's say a loan went really, really bad. 128 days, they're getting a demand letter from our attorney. And 180 days, from an accounting's perspective, I write that off as uncollectible, have to zero out my books. And then if we win, we bring that back in as a recovery on the next accounting period. But typically, CDFIs, from a default or delinquency standpoint, even though we're working with higher risk individuals, some are not bankable yet, some are not even using a bank yet, all the way to people that could go anywhere they want, but they believe in the mission of what we do as a CDFI, and they come to us. So we're going to have a gamut of clients, but the majority of the clients, as we're building this to start out with, are going to be higher risk. My target on that is less than 5% delinquency default, which if I meet that, which I did at the previous CDFI I ran, we will be on par with banks and credit unions on default records. That's saying that hopefully at 95% of our clients are successful. I think it's impossible to say that some won't pay. Some life will happen, or you might get some people that view that since the nation tried to stand it up as an entitlement, that they don't really have to pay it back, but they do. And so there's a process that's fair, but a consequence. So I like to tell people our funding source is a blend. Eventually it'll be a blend of federal earned revenue, borrowed revenue, and perhaps the nation is injecting revenue. But we try to keep it clean. So if it's not legal, federal, state, and by Osage Nation law, we won't do it on a funding purpose. You'll see some businesses we will not fund because they're kind of gray as far as their tasks. But that's sort of the philosophy of what we do.
I have a follow-up.
Go ahead, Speaker.
And I'm sorry, again, if I'm going to ask a question that's in here, I'm looking quickly to try to
there's a lot. There's a lot here.
What I'm asking.
Thank you for your time. Go ahead.
So the deadline of August, either I heard you say or I've talked to the chair, you have to have so many, 10?
Typically, to do what's called certification, which is the gold standard of U.S. Treasury, which is our federal regulator, It typically requires a minimum of 12 loans and 12 months of lending and an audit before
Minimum of 12 lending.
A 12-month period of lending.
Of 12 months, okay. And then also...
We'll have to have our own individual audit.
And then out of those 12... Is there a percent that need to be in good standing? What if they're all not in good standing? What if all of them are in a default period? Does that count?
Then I wouldn't apply for. I would wait a year and do it again because obviously something went wrong. Our qualifying with our clients or our education efforts. We may need to spend a whole season doing technical assistance, building the creditworthiness of some of our clientele. I can't imagine all 12 would go on. Probably what I'm looking at is 15 loans if I'm targeting something with 12 that I want to present.
Okay.
But that's my target.
Thank you.
The minimum for certification, which certification with other federal agencies and with private funders and foundations, especially when 501c3 goes through, they see CDFI certified, which is hard to get. That unlocks opportunities for other things down the road for us as a nonprofit to get more donated capital to us. So we're aiming at the gold standard now, and I think we can get it within 12 to 15 months, but we'll have to see.
Okay. And then I just have one last thing, Chair. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Go ahead, speak.
I'm going to cut to the chase, and I'm just going to ask, how much are you all going to be requesting of this body?
Starting off 500 to 750 is a realistic start from whatever source we get. Microenterprise business lending is the baseline lending. That's a loan up to 50K. You think about dividing 500 or whatever, 500 divided by 50 is only 10 loans. But obviously some may be consumer loans and some may be other loans that we're working on developing. It sounds like a lot of money, but that's 10 to 12 to 15 loans in that amount of money. So we will need to attract, by the end of operating a first year, we'll need to be raising or leveraging in loan capital over $1 million a year to have available to make loans.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you, Chair. So we talked a little bit about delinquency, but you mentioned using the tribal court.
Yes.
So does that mean you're going to be limiting your borrowing, limiting your lending to a certain jurisdiction?
What we end up doing is, in our closing documents, we defer to tribal court as our location of choice. That especially helpful whenever you have a blended family, husband and wife, maybe owns a small business. If they're taking a loan, they're both signers to the note, they're agreeing to go to our courts. Target market, it's defined target market and geographic market in here, and I'd be happy to address that further later. The safest bet right now is to do lending statewide for Osage Nation citizens and a narrower target market of Osage Reservation, Osage County for any other Native American. Right now, we would not do any non-Native lending. But services-wise, technical assistance, a lot we can do web-based, a lot we can do cooperative with other CDFIs. We can do that nationwide to any Osage citizen. We can make a lot of that available from a distance. So that's sort of our window of a wider target market, but limiting it statewide because of issues and costs. If we're looking at an Osage citizen that's four states away, we don't have the ability or the funding right now for myself and a tribal police officer to jump on a plane and go see if we have standing in court and contest or on the front end to go evaluate the collateral and make sure. Those are some logistics that years down the road would make sense, but right now starting out it doesn't. So statewide for Osage citizens, Osage members, and then a narrower demographic for other Native Americans in Osage County.
Okay, thank you.
Congressman Kane.
Yeah, thanks Chair Evard, and thank you, sir, for being here. So I guess the legal part, and just for clarity, from your side. So when the person gets the loan and applies first, there'll be a clause in that because they're signing a contract.
Yes, yeah.
There'll be a clause in the contract that says the Osage Nation will have jurisdiction.
Yes.
So
they're deferring to courts. It'll be in our closing document.
So even civil jurisdiction, if we want to expand this beyond Native Americans, if they sign the contract, there's an exception. Well, they're generally referred to as the Montana exception, civil jurisdiction. If they sign that contract saying we'll have jurisdiction, we can pull in non-natives too into our courts.
Right.
Because it'll be a contractual relationship with the borrower, basically.
And,
so.
And typically, native-focused CDFIs nationwide, that is their best partnership with their sponsoring tribal nation to do it that way. You're exercising the best options with sovereignty, and we have the best chance of upholding the integrity of what you're standing up its own financial institution. You want it to be a thriving thrift later. And so this gives us our best chance on collection.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you. So that takes me to, first of all, I guess for just my own clarity. So you've worked with the Attorney General's office.
We have worked with others in the past. We have not yet sat down with the attorney to talk about the minutiae on how, but that is our intention to follow that same model.
Okay. And then when it comes to recovery, are you going to be first on capital recovery, or how are you going to handle that?
Depends on the loan. If it's a small deal, yes, we would have first position on real assets. If it's a bundled deal with outside guarantees, later we're going to try for Office of Capital Investment with BIA and USDA and other guarantees. I did a deal at Muskogee Fund that was a bundled participation loan. And in essence, what that is, that's two financial institutions working together to benefit one client, where we did $50,000 of a $350,000 deal. I got BIA insurance on ours, so we had an 80% coverage for our risk. We took second position on that large deal of 350, but we had that. And I also helped negotiate the deal for the bank involved, and they were first position, but they had a BIA guarantee. And so with those other guarantees, we may take a second, but we'll never take beyond a second position on an asset. Primarily, we will always be first.
Thank you.
Okay. Committee, any other questions? Okay, so just quickly, you want to go over just again what type of loans? Okay.
We are looking at, from market study and discussing with people, and we'll be doing more polling and other things as we do events. We're looking at four categories of classes of lending. So these are general, and each one, depending on the fund sources we have, may have specific qualifiers. If it's a USDA, they might have to live in a certain area, but. We're looking at doing small business, we're looking at agribusiness, we're looking at consumer, and under the consumer header there's a few options, a smaller credit builder loan, as well as possibly we're looking at the feasibility of looking at possibly auto or other kind of consolidation loans. Okay, that's in the consumer field. And then on home, we're looking at some kind of home repair, home improvement for now. So those, in essence, it's really like four products across those three classes. That's what we're looking at.
Congresswoman Lemon.
I'll wait if you have another question.
Okay. On the home loans, would folks that live on restricted property be able to apply? Would they be eligible for a home loan?
I want to work out the details with the Attorney General here, but typically CDFIs can lend where regular banks can't, because of the relationship with the tribe and because of the relationship with the courts. So we may be able to do some loans on restricted or trust land that others can't. But that'll have to be developed then, and it'll also be conditioned on the rules of the funds we have to use.
Okay, thank you, sir. Congresswoman Lemon.
So, Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt. We're gonna allow for the video crew to take their camera and put it in the middle of the room, and apparently no one is supposed to look at it. And so I just wanted to let you know that we agreed to letting the film crew come in and do this today, and they're going to place it in the middle and no one look at it. And in 15 minutes, they'll come back and pick it back up.
Okay, right. Nobody's to look at it?
Nobody's to look at it. Nobody's to look at it. Just.
But Speaker, if you say something, I want to look at you.
Just pretend it's not there.
Look at her, not the camera.
Oh, all right.
I expect right. you, an assistant you. Chief, not to ask to be recognized.
Here we go.
Okay. All right, committee, does anyone have any other questions? Oh, Congresswoman Lemon, I apologize.
Thank you. So I wasn't finished with my questions earlier.
Oh, you're
so,
good. Come next door. I'm right upstairs.
But our speaker, she segued into where I was somewhat headed, and I got a little more information, so thank you for that, Speaker. So because I was talking about capital, and I wanted to, of course, get down to a dollar amount, and so $500,000 to $750,000 is where you guys feel like target that you need capital.
To start with, yes.
Of course, for lending capital. And so you talked about, you know, the ability to come here or have and get some capital infusion and also to borrow some capital infusion, which is like what most other lending institutions do, so or a blend thereof. Yes. And so let's just play a hypothetical real quick. Let's say that we feel generous and we want to give you, you know, some lending capital. We could potentially, Mr. Chair, are you there? I think you sent me a message about this. We have the ability to say this is what we want you to kind of parameter. We can put parameters on that money on what type of lending we would prefer for you to do with that infusion of capital, correct?
I would limit that to the category of lending. If you want us to focus on small business and home repair, then we would dedicate the bulk of that to those two options. But yes, you can dedicate any donor, including the Congress, can put parameters on purpose. You know, you want to use it for this type of loan. Dialing down further on the how, that's a little bit more narrow.
Certainly.
But yes, if you wanted to restrict it all toward small business, you could. You could do it all toward agribusiness. I don't know. I think the mix of those four areas I mentioned are our best option out the gate. And after a year of lending, we're gonna know and we're gonna tweak it better to serve our clients as they get to know us and we get to know them. But yes, you could make it available to those four categories. You could make it available to one category. We would certainly say thank you, and we'll make the best of whatever restrictions you would put on those funds. But generally, I would hope you would aim it at classes, general classes of loans, and then allow us to design the details that work as a financial institution.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you. You mentioned just a little while ago talking about getting the staff set
yes.
up,
yes.
getting the software.
Yes.
Are you already complete on getting those things done? Or?
Those are processes. So I've had there's software I used at Muskogee Fund in the past. There's two other competing softwares that are a little more modern. We need software that can integrate and talk to our accounting software, which will be QuickBooks, and do federal reporting at direct output. So we're not doing, again, with a small team of three, we're going to be maximizing electronic use as much as possible and not doing a lot of manual data entry. We're going to catch that data at the front and in what's called a CRM, which is Customer Relationship Manager or Client Relationship Manager. So we're looking at three softwares in the next 2 weeks. Probably by the June meeting, we'll know which software we're to go with. We'll get the accounting software by then. Hopefully by the end of this week or by the end of next week, the latest we've posted for the two jobs that we want to hire, and they're on board in the next 4 to 6 weeks, and I begin their training so that they're ready to go July, August when we're doing outreach. So those are the process. They're milestones, but they're kind of rolling milestones right now.
Chair.
Yes, ma'am. Continue.
So, and maybe I'm supposed to already know this. I'm not sure. But so we go through the year and we're good to go, and we've made all these loans and we've had our collections coming in just fine and everything's good. Where do we look at the return on investment? At what point do we look at a return on investment?
Long term, the nation itself needs to look at this just like you would when I worked for Bank of Oklahoma or Steve's experience with a credit union. A freestanding, fully self-serving bank branch that's serving a small community needs to have about 20 to 25 million in assets. That could be 5 years from now. It could be longer, it could be shorter. And there may be even other federal opportunities. The Inflation Reduction Act has got some things out there, so maybe there's some options we can do to generate capital quicker working with the Osage Nation. But generally speaking, 20 to 25 million is about where we would be self-sufficient. And right now, short of the support the nation, which is we're very thankful for, has given us for operations, our actual net assets are zero right now. So we're going to have some building to do. But to give you an idea of Muskogee Fund, I took it over in 17 and it was nearly insolvent. Net value was a couple hundred thousand. When I left almost 6 years later, it was worth 6 million. So giving you an idea of leverage and growth, once we get going, first year to second year, you're almost doubling in what you do. And then depending on the opportunity, you could double or triple year after year after year on activity and volume. It's just going to depend on what we have.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee?
It was in response to Congresswoman Lemon's question about specificity of loans and what the Congress may or may not say about what they exactly you want us to do with the money. I think the only concept I want to introduce here is that a balanced loan portfolio is the best practice when it comes to a lending institution. So while Congress is certainly free to do that, the more we spread that out among different types of risks, the more we ensure that that number stays down close to 5% or less in terms of foreclosures.
And just to piggyback, thank you. On that, we want a good mix of short-term payback and long-term payback. If we're doing all 5-7 year notes and all our capital's tied up, we could be asset rich and cash poor. That's how a lot of bankruptcies happen in the corporate world. So we're gonna have to have a good mix of short-term and long-term lending. Typically consumer is short-term.
Okay. Congressman Keene.
Thank you, Chair. But isn't it true that the ideal person that borrows, you want them to kind of pay late? You don't want people to pay it off quick, right? I mean, we want more money.
Well, again, you need to think about this, and I jokingly call myself a reform banker now, okay? And what I mean by that is we will make revenue. We'll do things that are at no cost to our members and our clients. We'll call them clients because some will be tribal members, some will be other tribal members. What profit we make, we're going to make a profit. We're going to run a nonprofit like a for-profit. And then at the end of the year, we're going to zero it out and reinvest in ourselves to grow our capacity. So the lending we will make capital on, we'll cover our risk and then a little bit more so we grow. But then we're going to reinvest that capital into staff and materials and other things to grow us bigger. I like to use the example of Catholic hospitals in Tulsa. They're nonprofits, but they're huge city sections now, and every year they're adding more and more, but they're a nonprofit. What they are is a net nonprofit. So we'll make money on lending, but before we close out the year, we reinvest that in ourselves so that we're able to do more. And that's how we grow our asset base to eventually where we don't need other support, we're self-sustaining.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate your attendance today.
Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for the partnership, and if you ever need me, I'm right next door. Okay.
Okay. Yes, we appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Redcorn. Mr. Blue, we look forward to hearing more about you tomorrow or Thursday. Sorry. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, you may. Thank you. Okay. The next item on our agenda is an Osage LLC update. Assistant Chief, do you have everybody that you had asked to be here to be here?
From the Osage LLC?
From the executive side?
I do. It's for various potential questions. That includes Tyler, obviously, the Attorney General. Jan Heyman is here for the Karis Cattle update, and Harley Moore, and Casey Johnson, who's the Secretary of Development. I don't see anyone else.
Okay, I'm sorry, Mr. Patterson, I didn't see you. Hello.
And
you too.
On the looks like on the link, we've got Craig Walker, who works for the Department of Natural Resources. Bill Fenton, our IT director, and Jason Zahn, the chief of staff for the chief's office, and James Wygant, who is the secretary for
admin. Okay, I just
Thank you, Chairwoman.
Yes, you're welcome. I just wanted to make sure, and then on the Osage LLC side, hello, Mr. Freeman.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Glad to see you. I see that Mr. Hamilton's on the call as well. So everybody that. Okay. All right. Hello, Mr. Goff.
Hello, how are you?
All right, we're good. Thank you. So, committee, this is, you know, the meeting that we had asked to get an update. How do you feel? What do you guys want to start with, or whom? Or is there a particular subject we want to?
Chair, I thought there was a presentation coming. Is there not?
No, we've got, I mean, we've brought documents. We did not have a presentation directly for you.
Oh, okay.
No, I've got Pat Castleberry, who is the CEO of AtLink, is here to answer any broadband questions.
Okay.
And we're moving forward with our business in that area. And the CEO can answer any other questions, and I'm just here just to be here.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you. So just for clarification, Mr. CEO, I'm sorry, what was your name?
Mr. Goff.
That's right. Russ Goff, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the CEO, are you the CEO over every subsidiary that is under Osage LLC, or is it just the 8As, or what? Where are you at in this mix?
Yes, ma'am, that's a good question, and I just like to thank Congress for the appropriation last year, which enabled us to have this position, the CEO position, and so just to answer that question, right now we have a management team or executive team, in addition to the board. That's overseeing the operations of these businesses. So I am the CEO of Osage LLC. That includes all of the LLC businesses that fall under that umbrella.
Every subsidiary.
The ranch.
Osage LLC. You are the CEO.
Correct, Mr. Chairman?
That's correct.
Okay. And how long have you been doing that? Because the last update we had was that you were over just the 8As.
October the 1st.
Of 2022. Okay. And then you guys also have a chief accounting officer.
Yes, we do. Brad Cochran with Vertices provides our CFO services and our accounting support for Osage LLC and its subsidiaries.
And all of the subsidiaries.
He's yes, ma'am.
CAO over all of them.
That is correct.
Okay. So, Mr. Goff, could we have an update on current update on what's going on at the ranch?
What is going on at the ranch? Lots of things going on at the ranch at the moment. We just got some yearlings in on Friday. We got our grass leases set. So we have, there's lots of activity going on at the ranch right now. The latest thing that's been going on is, you know, we have through our lease with the nation, right? We are to provide improvements to the property every year, and so part of that improvement and maintaining the land that we've been given includes prescribed burning, and so we have an agreement with our neighbors. You know, to burn about a third of the acreage every year. And so we have been doing our prescribed burning here as of late, and we've run into some challenges with leases that we have with the nation. And so that at the moment is kind of where we are, have some challenges at the ranch right now.
Okay, can you go into further detail? I mean, so there, I'm just trying to understand. You have,
sure.
You're a lessee. You have lessees.
Correct.
And so I'm trying to understand, like, what challenges you're not able to burn, you want to burn.
We tried to burn a particular area, and it included some of the lease area that the nation has for the bison and for CARES Act. And it's our understanding that that some of those fires were put out. And so we weren't able to complete the burn for that property. So we weren't able to complete the area of burning that we wanted to do.
Okay.
So
okay, so you weren't able to complete it because the leasee was not informed, or the leasee didn't want the land burned? What does your contract say?
Right. I don't believe that we informed the leasee that we were doing the burning.
Is that commonly done in the business that you are in?
No, because we have coordinated with our other neighbors. So definitely an opportunity for, you know, improved communications.
Well, that's good to hear. We can always improve.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So they're not going to burn the leased land that you have as a sublease. The Osage Nation has a sublease.
The Osage Nation has a sublease. Mm-hmm. We stopped short of burning that land. Typically, we would burn that land. Now is the opportunity for us to engage in communication with regards to how is that land going to be managed. Prescribed burn is, with weed control, is how we maintain native grass species. And
on a yearly burn basis, though?
Every third year. So
okay, so a third of it, I got you now.
A third of it is burned every year, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the cycle that we were in, and we didn't complete that burn, so it really needs to be burned. It's just a matter of figuring out who's going to do the burning and when that'll be completed.
Okay. And so that's the only update you have about the ranch at this time? You have anything else? Sorry.
The other thing that we talked about opportunities for improved communication, I think, we're recognizing that we need some administrative oversight for operation of the ranch. So we have folks that are engaged in the day-to-day cattle operations and operation of the property. And it really does take a lot more time and effort to make sure that we're accounting for all of the other things that go along with administration of a 42,000 acre ranch. And so we've identified that, there's a need there to have some administrative support and oversight that's not engaged in the day-to-day operations of the ranch.
So are you referring to possible like another administrative position that would be in a supervisory role, but that would fall under the CEO?
Correct. Kind of like a project management type of a position where we're engaged in understanding our deadlines for renewing our lease, our opportunities to establish new grass leases, to have the legal review of those leases to make sure the notifications are done on time, and that we have a good procurement process, that we negotiate good prices for supplies and materials that we're purchasing. All of those things, I think, lend themselves to having, if not a full-time dedicated management oversight, at least a partial oversight of those operations.
Okay, so I understand that has Osage LLC been paid for the time that you took care of the CARES cattle, that the ranch board prior to took care of the CARES cattle that was purchased by the nation with CARES money?
We did submit an invoice for that time period from September to December for the care and feeding of the CARES Act cattle. I also included a rate per acre for the lease of the land that the cattle was occupying. So we've been paid for the lease on the land.
Rate per acre.
The rate per acre but not for the care and feeding of the cattle.
Can you tell me what the barrier to that is? Is because I understand that the invoice
right.
was not detailed.
Okay.
Are you knowledgeable of that?
Yes, we did get a request back for additional information on the invoice. And what we did, I believe we did provide the additional information. What we have done is we've characterized the total cost of operating the ranch, and then we prorated the cost based on the total number of cattle. So the total number of CARES Act cattle versus the total cattle that were operate, and then our operational costs were split over those months relative to support the CARES Act cattle.
Okay, thank you for that information. So you did submit another invoice then, as you're saying, or more detail? Was it done recently?
I will have to check. I know that we did receive an email request for the additional detail, and I thought that that was provided. If that had not been provided, I can go back and make sure we do have the backup for the amount of money that was requested.
So who would have sent who sent the invoice?
We sent the invoice out of our office. I think our office manager probably sent the invoice.
Okay. Okay. That's all I have for right now. Thank you for indulging me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's go back to the invoice. So your office sent it to Treasury?
That's correct.
Tyler or Mr. McIntosh, you've received the invoice, and I guess it sounds as though your office asked for more information.
Yeah, there you go, Tyler. If you want to have a seat, you might be kind of involved quite a bit going forward. Thank you.
Yeah, Chair. We did receive the invoice. I believe I have a copy of it. Basically states for wage and cost as described by Mr. Goff. And from that explanation and understanding that it's a split of cost and how the cost should be shared based on that approach, very justifiable. The question is was there revenue generated associated with those costs? You always look at cost and you have to assume that cost generates revenue. That's the basic principle of business. So the question kind of back was what was the revenue generated off of, say, the CARES cattle, why the CARES cattle was in your care, and was that then utilized to offset the cost that you determined? Because it only sounded like you only looked at cost. And I'm looking to understand, did you receive revenue during that time period to offset that cost? Because if you did, I would take that out and say you were reimbursed by revenue for that amount. And then the rest would be on the nation.
I'd have to consult with our CFO on that to understand, what revenue that we did receive that would apply to that. But at the moment, we're not operating the ranch at a profit, so to speak. So there's not, there may not be a lot of revenue associated with those costs. But again, I would have to consult with our CFO to parse that out.
And that's essentially where the invoice request for more information in order to process that.
Okay.
And I feel like that's the responsibility of the treasurer to look out for the nation's assets and make sure that.
I can answer that question.
Okay.
Use your mic.
The CARES cattle. We did not charge except from September of last year until December 31st. The calves were sold in October, and that money was turned over to the treasurer. And prior to that, any money that was made, we did not go back and charge for any care on those cattle throughout that period of time. And so there was no invoice sent in for the following year of taking care of those cattle, or for the period of time they've been on that ranch, nor the feed, nor the grass.
So is the time period from October 2022?
From January of 2021, when those cattle were brought on that ranch, actually the first ones were brought in December. From that point forward, there was no charges to take care of those cattle. There were cattle sold. They were commingled with other cattle on that ranch. We have gone back and documented the best we can on how we brought that through. The ranch that year lost money in their cattle operations, which means the CARES cattle would have lost money in their cattle operations.
And in even experiencing a loss, there still would be revenue to offset it. So is the period of that invoice we're talking about, what period does that cover as far as the
request for reimbursement? That would have covered the cattle that were sold in October. You were given all the revenue.
Okay, I'll confirm that.
Yep, and we can confirm that with you. I've got the contracts, so all those can be sent to you. Okay.
So. I just have to remind you guys that when you're going to speak, you have to let you speak. It's okay. I don't mind the dialogue, but we just got to make sure that none of the other committee members have questions. So it's okay. One thing I do like to hear is that it sounds like you guys have the information needed, contracts. This has been talked about for, some time. With the CARES cattle, and back to my memory, so correct me if I'm wrong, currently the LLC has the lease with the ranch. They're leasing all the land on the ranch, right, except for the piece carved out for the bison preserve. And then, is that right? Casey?
What, say that question again.
Okay. So we have the 42,000 acres and the LLC has the lease with the nation.
For all, the whole thing. Yes.
Right. Okay. And
the
then
whole
there's,
thing.
And then there's a sublease for the bison. And as of recent, the CARES cattle.
Yes, ma'am. That's correct.
Okay. So I thought that before the CARES cattle were purchased, then they were put out there, but there wasn't a lease in place at that time. And the lease came after the fact.
For the cattle?
Uh-huh, for the CARES cattle.
That is correct.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I'm getting the timeline correct. But what I do like hearing is that it sounds like we have a resolution here. And so with getting the LLC paid for their money to operate, or not operate, but the cattle was on the property, just want to put that in. If that happened to me on my land, I'd be like, well, what, number one, trespassing. Number two, let's get together and figure out what the costs are. Mm-hmm. And I understand, I guess, Treasurer McIntosh is thinking there was some revenue obtained, but also in the structure, I think we had a ranch board in place at the time. They're no longer here. So then the LLC is trying to capture all the data and information that was activity done prior to. But my point is, it sounds like you guys are on your way to an agreement as to what those costs are, less any revenue in speaking with the Osage LLC CFO.
And regarding the lease on that land, we have a sublease, and that sublease back to the nation is for the CARES cattle for 1 year. It's an annual lease. And it started on, we actually signed that on October 31st. I believe the date is November 1st. So we did not charge for grass prior to that. We just, when we did that lease, that was for the forward. So that's actually for this coming year is what that lease was for.
Current year. Okay. So the lease will be due again November 1st of?
We tried to make it as clean as possible without going back and trying to recapture from the whole time that everything was on that ranch because it was becoming so difficult. And we tried to make it good for that side as well as trying to make it to the point where we could recap our out-of-pocket expenses on the ranch side.
Understood. Congresswoman Lemon?
Thank you. So I just have to back up to where you're talking about the lease. It's a there's a master lease, which has the bison in the master lease.
No.
I think so. Yes. They're not in a sublease.
No, the
they're in a sublease.
We have a sublease with the nation for $1 a year to take back 3,250 acres. I think they're somewhere. It's right at 3,300 acres.
So they're not in the master lease?
No, they're in the master. So we lease the entire ranch, 42,300 acres. We sublease back the Buffalo Range or Buffalo Preserve back to the nation. The chief had requested that, and I thought it was a good deal for the ranch.
Okay.
And so that's why we did that.
Okay, thank you.
And so that is separate from the Karis cattle.
Yes, okay.
But the bison lease is actually a 20-year lease.
Yes, not year to year.
Yeah, it was whatever the year lease was on the ranch.
So that's why I call it's in with the master lease, because their lease doesn't term out like the Karis cattle lease does. So the Karis cattle lease, as of right now, is year to year. The bison preserve lease is for 20 years down the road, right? So every year you're gonna have, that's gonna come up. Is there any, as far as like the Karis cattle, it'll be a renewable lease every year that you'll have with the nation as a sublease?
It's my understanding right now that that's not a renewable lease. It's just, it was a 1-year lease. So we need to engage in conversation about, how long you want to continue to manage the CARES Act cattle, and can we get another lease in place that meets those requirements?
The requirements as far as like fair market value,
like,
and terms and things of that nature?
Right. Like, are you planning to, become cattle ranchers? Like, what is the disposition of the CARES Act cattle? Are we going to continue to, are they going to be used and processed for food, for meat, or are we going to be breeding cattle? Are we going to be perpetuating a herd of cattle? So I'm not sure I understand kind of the end goal for management of the CARES Act cattle.
But you guys don't manage them.
No, but we would have to provide a lease term that would support the management of those cattle. Like if you're going to process all of them at the end of that year lease, then there's no need for another renewable lease term. So we have to understand what the business model is for maintaining the CARES Act cattle. How long are we going to manage them, and what's the end point? So you may not want another year's lease, or maybe you want a 3-year lease.
Right.
So we need to engage in conversation and work out the terms of a lease.
So you're what, about 6 months away from that? You're already halfway into it. So have those conversations begun?
Not yet.
Okay, great. So is there a plan to send that, to have those conversations begin here soon?
Absolutely. We definitely need to have those conversations. And that would, that would start with me, and connecting, starting those conversations with me so that we can have the appropriate people engage from that point forward.
So that is something you are going to tackle?
I will tackle that.
And we'll get an update.
Yes, ma'am.
That'd be great.
Chairwoman.
Assistant Chief.
I see how the agenda is set up. The next thing on the agenda is it a Karis cattle update it's actually a Department of Natural Resources update. Jan has put together some documents that were provided to Congress. I know it was prior to lunch, or at least it was I was informed that it was going to be so. This is your meeting, your agenda. I just feel like some of these things can be cleared up. At least we can start engaging in a more productive dialogue after Jan's presentation regarding the ranch portion of what she has to provide, and then maybe we could go further into discussion like we're doing right now, because a lot of these things I'm sitting here, I'm just kind of like tapping my toes thinking, well, Jan, this is a lot of this is part of Jan's documents that she has provided to Congress. That's just what I'm saying. So, Chairwoman, I would just.
Okay. Well, we're actually just asking questions right now. I don't know. Hold on. Let me see.
And also point out, I have the master lease, and the master lease ends in April of 2042. So that's a 25-year lease.
And is that's the lease that was approved by Congress?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm looking for, I see you, Congresswoman Stabler. I'm just looking for the documentation.
Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
I believe that Brooklyn sent it out at 11:23 a.m., but I'm not 100% sure that's what it is because looks like the Treasury brought it down.
I see that.
Yeah.
Understood. Thank you for that clarification.
Okay, where did
it says Bison Cares Cattle Land Stewardship.
Found it. Thank you.
Chairwoman.
I'm sorry, we didn't have a chance to read this because it came in late. The committee.
Chairwoman.
So give me just a sec. I'm kind of looking at this. Is this a discussion that would take place between Mr. Goff and Jan, or is it something that the committee needs to be involved with? I mean, which we don't mind whatsoever. I don't mind hearing from Jan because I can totally see that there's a lease and a sublease. So, Assistant Chief?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I read through this morning. It's maybe a 15-minute report.
Okay.
There are 10 and 12 and 13-page PDFs. A lot of them are pictures and exhibits and those types of things. So I feel like Jan could actually read through the entire report verbatim, and I think it would provide clarity, and I think it would provide a more stable footing for this committee to engage in more productive dialogue, and would also provide an opportunity for the Osage LLC to hear the nation's perspective on a different few things. And I just, so my recommendation would be that Ms. Heyman provide that report verbally and go from there. But this obviously is your committee, and that is just my recommendation. So thank you.
Ms. Chairwoman?
Let me go with Congresswoman Stabler and then Mr. Goff.
Well, I was just going to suggest, since we've spent some time on this, if we wanted to hear from DNR on that report, if we could go ahead and finish with the Osage LLC update and maybe move on to some other subjects with them. How would the committee feel about that? I'd like to hear about their latest endeavors with Skyway and the 8As and where they're all headed. And
well, as the chair, I think, what if we stayed with subject matter?
Okay.
That's what I want to do.
That doesn't bother me one bit. I don't mind if the committee doesn't. I don't know.
But we will be able to come back to this?
Yeah, most certainly.
Okay, thank you.
I don't mind coming back, Mr. Goff.
Ms. Chairwoman, that was going to be my suggestion, too, is that we complete our brief because we do have our broadband partner here to provide an update on our broadband services. And the ranch is one of a number of businesses that we intend to brief Congress about today. But we'll take your advice and follow what, we'll go wherever you want to lead us.
Okay. I have a question, committee, if you don't mind. Could we get this printed and get this stamped in from DNR, and then we could print it? Can we take
recess for 10 minutes?
Is there a second?
Second.
So motion and a second. All those in favor say yes?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
It is stamped in. That's why you have it.
Okay, well, thank you, because I was like, now, Tyler, it came from
Treasury, so I got confused. I couldn't find it from Jan.